Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2, MR2, around the virtual kitchen table. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I'm delighted to be with you today. I'm glad you're with us. And of course, it's another beautiful day of my consciousness. And it always helps that I'm with my buddies. Hi, guys.
Hey, we are glad to be here with you around this kitchen table today, this virtual table. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. I'm virtually yours too, and it's definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you all know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, youuniversalprosperity.com.
And out of the generosity of our wonderful hearts, we like to give you a shortcut so you can find us easily. And that is the initials for that, which is UCFYP.com.
And of course, you can find my website at paulhasselbeck.com, where I have my absolute word and the calendar of where I am doing Zoom stuff, speaking and teaching. And of course, MR2 is about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience. And we've been romping with how to communicate with your inner child. And Bill, why don't you give us that little intro, something like you did last week, since this is part two?
Yeah, okay, be glad to. And actually, when you think about it, the inner child concept has been with us for a long time. It was especially developed by psychologist Carl Jung, who originated the concept, and he called it the divine child archetype. And Emmett Fox followed suit, and he called it the wonder child. And both of those gentlemen saw it more as a world savior child. And no doubt they each borrowed the concept from human history a little bit earlier, which came in the form of the Greek Hercules and the Egyptian Horus and the Indian avatar Krishna. And of course, Christianity in its beginnings had the Christ child as this divine child. And the three of us, as we look at it from a modern day lens, a modern day psychological dash spiritual lens, we see it as representing all of our inner childness, which in a very real way is our savior. It's a psychic, ethereal part of us. It's always been part of us. It's not a separate being at all. It is our younger nature, if you will, that's always there. And the reason it's always there is not only as an adult, we can look at our inner childness from a psychological standpoint, but also it's a lot more psychological than chronological. And it's important for us to know that because our inner childness is there all the time. It's part of our psyche.
Yeah, our inner childness. I think that's another word that you developed, Bill. And it keeps us from concretizing the inner child as something distinct and separate. It's a part that's integrated in us, which we rarely use. And so let's get romping with this. We were able to review two of these ways to work with our inner childness. And Cher, I believe you're going to start us with part three.
I am. And what we're doing is looking at the positive side of that inner childness. We're seeing what positive, wonderful, good things it can bring us in our spiritual enrichment and our growth as we communicate with that part of our beingness. So number three, and this one is fascinating, is to pay attention to your dreams after you've made the initial and subsequent contacts with that ethereal part of your younger you. So in other words, last week we talked about becoming aware of that inner child and beginning that conversation. And then what's interesting is your inner child nature can communicate to you through your dreams.
Yeah. And I think that works because until we start probing into this inner childness, it's all in our subconscious phase of mind. And we know that a lot of our dreams are are instigated or propelled from the subconscious phase. So it makes perfect sense when we begin to work on that, we are kind of like taking a lid off of that. And in our dreams, it has an opportunity to emerge.
Yeah, an interesting example, if I can just take a little side trip here around the table, is recently we were doing a mentoring session with one of our mentees, and he shared a dream he had recently had that was actually a dream of him as a child from a real experience that he had. It brought the memory back. Wow. Which actually led us through the discussion of what it meant and meta-spiritually interpreting it, some information around how he was going to use his work, his spiritual work in his career. Yeah, so it was fascinating how that memory came through that dream.
And that you just stimulated me in awareness that a lot of my dreams are set on the street I lived as a child. Which is fascinating. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to dig into that a little more. And what might that mean?
Yep. Wow. And you know, childhood memories can literally transform adulthood experience when you think about it.
Wow.
That can be very powerful.
And it can help like a child, just like a child, when they have an experience, they may not even understand fully what it means. But when you look at that same experience from an adult perspective, through the dream, then you can give it a different meaning and you can enrich your own life through that.
Yeah, and now we're back to that, something we talked about a couple of weeks ago is we now can, from our adult perspective, we could call it our adultness,
yeah.
or the term from our adulting, we can reframe that childhood experience. And that childhood experience, friends, isn't in the past. It's in our present as present memories.
Exactly.
And so we always have access to them and we can always reframe them.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
That sounds good. Can I share our little thing we do about the present moment is our time zone?
Yeah, I love that.
Use it as a metaphor. The present moment is our time zone. And so we can visit other time zones like the past and the future. But if we're going to bring anything back from there, make sure that souvenir is worth the baggage that you're, the weight in the baggage that you're carrying.
Souvenir is worth the baggage.
Yeah. Because things like fear and worry come from our future and worrying about the future that hasn't come yet and regrets and unforgiveness and guilt. Those are things that usually we carry back from the past.
Yeah. And what we want to bring back is the good things.
Absolutely.
There are good and supportive things. And it's that part that is our wonder child, right?
Yes.
And I don't think I had ever heard of the divine child archetype. And I don't know why, but I hadn't heard that. So that's a really cool concept too. Okay, what's the next one?
Number four is the M word.
Uh-oh.
One we use a lot.
We do. Meditate as a way of being open to that intuitive communication that comes from your inner childness. And we talk about the word meditation, and I think I would like to just say here, I think sometimes we do a disservice with that word because it's
a category.
And so you can do different kinds of meditation that would really bring out that inner child and the fun things that you could do through meditation.
Well, so we ought to put a little mental pin on that when we're talking about meditation and future programs to be less vague about it and be more specific. So when we say something like, if you're not meditating, you're not serious about your spiritual practice, we ought to really talk about what kind of meditation. And when I say that, I'm talking about a type of meditation that gets me into the silence, because that's what has worked for me. And in this case, it's transcendental meditation. And there's a couple others that work also, but we need to be more specific than just meditate, just saying the word meditation.
Right. Because like for this, in terms of connecting with your inner child, something around the arts, meditating with clay or with paint, or we do a pudding paint with it's like finger painting, but you use pudding.
We've done that
before as a meditative experience. And it's just really fun.
Yeah. And if you don't like it, you can eat it.
In fact, you do. You lick your fingers. That's part of the part of the meditation.
Part of the process. And I like working with clay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Or Play-Doh,
something like that.
The smell of Play-Doh or the smell of a freshly opened box of crayons will just bring back that childness, that inner childness.
I imagine paint too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tempera. Mm-hmm. Everybody remember tempera paint?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. We are bringing up memories from our childness.
We are. And they're fun. They're good memories. And they help you. Or maybe good memories. I don't know.
Well, I can remember a particular one that didn't turn out so well, but that's okay.
Yeah. Yep. And then you just say, what meaning can I give to that now that will help me? Because remember, we are the ones who give the meaning to things. So this is one of the powerful things about this.
Yes. So what's next one?
Yeah, another way we can communicate with our childness is to keep a journal to record our thoughts, insights related to the energies of the younger us, which is very much us still, to look at your inner childness work as a way of exploring your relationship and nothing more really, because it's a continuous relationship. It's eternal relationship we'll always have with our inner childness. And this perspective can help you approach your maturation process with an attitude of curiosity, wonder, and appreciation.
I love that. Curiosity and appreciation. Mm-hmm. That's a really good tip. Okay, so what's number six?
Before we move to number six, can we just say something about the journal?
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, because we get a lot of resistance from some of the folks we work with whenever we suggest journaling and how important it can be. But it doesn't have to be hard. It might be a couple of words you write in a journal. It can just be some prompts that you have. So just think about memories of when you were a child and say, when I think about playing games, and then finish that sentence and just see what it brings up, because that inner childness can communicate to you through that journaling.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not a fan of journaling, and I do it from time to time.
Yeah. And you had shared about what Vanna White did. Would you want to share that?
Oh, yes.
So
speaking of journaling, this is not exactly the context, but we're around the kitchen table, so we kind of digress from now and then.
I thought this was interesting.
This is very interesting. So I was watching Wheel of Fortune at the end of a recent show in the last couple of weeks. Dana White shared that she kept a daily journal of her children. I don't know if she had one or two or whatever. And then when that child turned 21, she gave them the journal. So they could have something they could look back and see something about every day of their life. I think that is just amazing.
Yeah, I think it's an incredible commitment to be willing to make. Oh my goodness, every day.
It is, and it's really mind-bending even to think that Vanna White has grown children. I don't know why we keep. I keep actors and actresses frozen in time, but she's actually a mother. Think of that.
Yeah.
And I wonder if she asked her children, okay, what's behind page number six?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Speaking of six.
Okay. Find photographs and other mementos of the younger yous that help you tap back into the emotional space reflected in the images and keepsakes of your past. Now, if any of our listeners are like me, I was the third child. There's a lot of photographs of my oldest brother. There's fewer photographs of my middle brother and almost no photographs of me that have at least made it until this present time frame. So I know there are those of you who do have photographs, and you can look at the younger you, and you can do a little gestalt conversation with that younger you. What was going on for you at that time?
Yeah, I remember hearing somebody suggest if you're at a job you don't like and it's bringing out the worst in you and the people around you, to bring in a picture of yourself as a baby. And to keep that on your desk so that you look at yourself and remember what a precious being you are and how worthy you are, and that will remind you of the you that of long ago. So
yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
I look at some photographs of my early childhood, and it reminds me that I've always been this way. And this way is, we used to play cowboys and Indians, and there are out of the 8 or 9 children that I used to play with in our neighborhood, there were only 2 of us that dressed up like Native Americans and wore our bonnets. Everybody else had the cowboys and the hats and the guns. And I thought, you know what? I've always been an outlier. I've always been different. I've always lived outside the box, huh?
Oh my goodness. You dressed up as an Indian?
Oh yes, most definitely, with the war paint and everything.
Holy cow. That explains a lot, Bill.
That's what I said to myself. That explains a lot about me.
Yeah, that is really, really, really good.
But notice that number 6 says photographs and other mementos, not just the photographs.
Right.
Yeah.
So other things we have that remind us of our childhood.
Yeah. I don't have much from my childhood either. I do have an antique ashtray.
Wait a minute, from your childhood?
Yeah. So when I was a kid, my parents smoked like chimneys. Okay. And there was this ashtray that was made by this famous company in Cincinnati called Rookwood Pottery. And their symbol was a raven. And so it's an ashtray that comes up and has a raven looking down on the ashes, where the ashes would be. But the beak was broken off. And I got it from my mother and had the beak restored. And that's one memento I have from my childhood. It's very weird, but smoking was a part of my childhood.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and it's one thing that brings back memories probably every time you look at it. There's a memory.
I wonder how many of our listeners were ever left in a car and the ashtray started burning. From a cigarette not being.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It was gross. It was really, really gross.
Wow.
That's a memory, not mine.
So I think I'm going to stop remembering that from my childhood.
Okay.
Okay. We got one more to do and we have time.
Okay. So number 7. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is one actually we can summarize it very quickly, is just to get back in touch with your playful side. So think about games that you used to play as a child and then look for ways to, you may play that game again, or you may find other versions of how to do it.
Yeah.
Like hopscotch. And I know we played Twister with our grandkids not too long ago and
found out
we are no longer as flexible as we used to be.
Oh my goodness. So that's an interesting thing. People used to tell me or ask me, what do you like to do? And I would say, play games. And there was never any follow-up in that. And after a while I went, well, if I like to play games, why don't I play games anymore? We played games as kids. We played cards with our parents. And some of my best memories are from playing cards with my parents. And so recently, like in the last 2 or 3 years, I started playing games, and I actually started with having a domino night.
Awesome.
And my ugly competitive twin started to come out. And so I've had to learn to, that's a piece of my childness I don't really need in my present playing games with others.
Mm-hmm. I love that, because what that's doing is enlightening your childness, inner childness.
Yes.
You're helping that inner child understand that competitiveness, there's a place for it, but it needs to be in balance with other things.
Absolutely.
And you can see that now from a higher level perspective.
And of course,
play some games with children. Games, the old games, you probably remember some of these, hopscotch and tag and Simon Says and Go Fish and hide and seek, etc. But there are some modern day electronic games. And if you haven't played these games with some kids, try them. Games like Wonder Workshop, Dash Coding Robot, Fisher Price's Think and Learn, and VTech's Kitty Zoom Camera Picks, etc. All these electronic games that your grandchildren would love you playing with them.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so I think we need to pivot to our Absolute Word. And of course, the Absolute Word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And this comes from May 30th. The words are inner peace. I gracefully establish inner peace now. I gracefully establish inner peace now. Words do not suffice in describing inner peace based on my divinity. True peace is primarily manifested from the inner divine idea of peace. True peace does not depend on outer circumstances. Charles Fillmore wrote, "Divine ideas are potential forces waiting to be put into motion by the thinking, feeling faculties of you and I. In the center of my beingness, divine peace, like all divine ideas, awaits me recognizing and claiming it. I claim inner peace by first remembering the divine idea of peace. As I set it into motion, peace grows within me. My feelings are soothed as order is restored to my thoughts. I am peaceful inside, regardless of outer circumstances. I gracefully establish inner peace now." And I gratefully thank our listeners. I gratefully thank the Reverend Drs. Bill and Cher Holden for another wonderful program. For now, this is Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck saying goodbye.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holden saying peace be with you and just have that inner peace within.
And this is Reverend Doc Bill Holden, and not only the inner peace within, but embrace your inner childness within.